Chapter of the book of Matthew. We'll begin there in just a moment. Matthew chapter 26. We're delighted that you're here. We have visitors and we're glad that you've come. Hope you can come back and be with us on other occasions. The Apostle Peter is one of those disciples with which most of us can identify in some shape, form, or fashion. We see Peter and we study his life and we can say, you know what, I can identify with that when we look at his zeal. His impatience, even. He was quick to speak, and too quick at times. His boldness. No one was more bold than Peter was. His overconfidence. We can identify with that, that there were times that what he stated he would do, he was not able to fulfill, and he was overconfident. And we can identify with that. And yet Peter often got in his own way. And we find that here in Matthew chapter 26. Now, look at Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 31. He had boldly proclaimed his devotion to the Lord. When the Lord said they would all stumble because of him, and he said, even if all, I'm reading at verse 33, are made to stumble because of you, I will never stumble. He had boldly proclaimed his devotion to the Lord. Well, the Lord said, and I'm going to paraphrase, not only will you stumble, but Peter, you specifically will deny me. This very night you'll do that. And Peter boldly said, I will never deny you. I'll never do that. That'll never happen to me. He's boldly proclaiming his devotion to the Lord. And yet in just a few moments from that point, when Jesus was arrested, he followed at a distance. Look at verse 58 of this very text that we're in, Matthew chapter 26. In verse 58, the text says, but Peter, this is when they had arrested the Lord, verse 57. We'll come back to that in a moment. And they led him away to Caiaphas. But Peter followed him, you might underline in your Bible, at a distance. They've carried Jesus away. They've arrested him and they're carrying him away for his trial. And Peter is following him. But the text says, at a distance he did. At this juncture, we'll not take the time to look at Mark or in Luke, but those are parallel accounts that we'll give attention to as the lesson unfolds. But they likewise said that Peter followed at a distance. But let's turn to the account in John. John 18, verses 15 and 16. He doesn't use the word at a distance, or the King James says afar off. But at verse 15 of John 18, Simon Peter followed, and so did the other disciple, who we believe to be John. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. He followed at a distance. Let's talk a little while this morning about following at a distance, like Peter did. And what I want to suggest to you is that following at a distance is not just a danger for Peter, it's a danger for us just as much as it was for Peter. And the question is, could you be following the Lord, but at a distance? And what is involved in following the Lord, but you're following at a distance? I want you to get the picture now of Peter. Peter followed the Lord. They're carrying the Lord off into his trial. They're ready to question him. They have arrested him. And Peter wants to follow, and so does John follow. But he follows, the text says, at a distance. He's kind of holding back, and I want to see what's going on. And finally sets at the court outside. And warms himself by the fire that we'll give attention to in just a moment. Here's what we're going to see in our study this morning. I want us to look at the reason why he followed. Does the text give any indication? Why is he following at a distance? And furthermore, what are the dangers of following at a distance? And what are the dangers when we do the very same thing and we follow at a distance? And then let's talk about the signs that may indicate one is following at a distance. What indicators do we see that you might be following the Lord, but you're following at a distance, though, like Peter? And then we talk about the justification. Peter gave a reason why he followed at a distance. What was his reason? And we'll talk about that here in just a moment. Let's start with this. Let's talk about the reasons why Peter may have been following at a distance. First of all, I want to suggest to you there was a fear of a close association. There was a fear of a close connection with Jesus. And let's take the case for Peter. For Peter, Jesus had just been arrested in the previous verse. Go back to Matthew chapter 26 for a moment and look at verse 57. They have just arrested Jesus. He might be too, is the thought. It is in connection with what verse 57 is saying that Peter followed at a distance in the next verse, verse 58. They've just arrested Jesus. He might be too. Jesus is now on trial, verse 57. They've carried him away to Caiaphas, the high priest. He could be too taken on trial. Look at verse 59. They're plotting how they might take his life. They're wanting to kill Jesus. They might kill him too. No wonder he's following at a distance. He wants to follow the Lord. He's following him. Yes, he's going, and so did John. But John went a little further and a little closer. But Peter, the text describes, is following at a distance. Why? Because there is a fear of a connection with Jesus. They've arrested him. They're putting him on trial, and they want to kill him. And they might want to do the same thing with me. And may I suggest that that same kind of fear could happen with us when we follow at a distance. We've got a little distance between us and the Lord. Oh, we're following, all right, but it's at a distance. It might be the fear of being expected to be involved. You see, if I get a little closer to the Lord and a little closer to his people, there is an expectation of involvement in what's going on. I don't want to be involved. I don't want to be in the midst of what's going on. I don't want to be greatly involved. I want to maintain my distance. You see, if I follow the Lord a little closer, I might be expected to give up some things, like maybe the practice that I'm involved in. There's some things that I want to keep doing. I might have to give that up because I would be expected, as I draw closer to the Lord and to his people, that they might expect me to give up something. Or it might be a relationship that I have with the people of the world. Or the relationship that I have that is unscriptural. And I don't want to give that up. And so there is this fear of a closer connection. It might be that if I draw closer to the Lord and his people, I would be held to a higher standard than I am now. I'm holding myself to a standard, but not near the standard that those who are closer to the Lord are held to. And so if I get closer to the Lord and to his people, I might be held to a higher standard and expected to follow that standard. I don't want that. And so we follow the Lord at a distance. Here's a second reason why he may have been following at a distance. And that is, he deceives himself into thinking, I'm still following the Lord. Now get the picture of following the Lord. There are some who didn't even follow at all. But at least Peter and John are following the Lord. But at a distance, the text says. And perhaps he deceives himself into thinking, at least I'm still following. I'm following, but I just don't want to be too close. I'm following, I just don't want to be too involved. After all, I'm with John. I'm with other disciples. And so here comes Peter and John together. We think that disciple to be John. And so here he comes along with John, and at least I'm with another disciple. We together are following the Lord. We together are doing what we should be doing. We are following the Lord, but he just didn't go as far. Let's turn to John 18 again, if you will, at verse 15 and 16. And if you have the ability to mark more than one passage somewhere, you might mark John 18, Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22. We're going to be flipping back and forth between these. But I want you to notice that Simon Peter followed, and so did the other disciple. Now, that disciple was known to the high priest, and he went in with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door, and the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to Peter and brought him in. See, John just went a little bit further. I'm still following. I've deceived myself into thinking I'm still following. And perhaps John, or rather Peter, didn't really think of himself as being at a distance. Maybe he thought of himself as following the Lord. I want to follow the Lord. I want to see what they're going to do with him. I want to see what's going to happen here at this trial. I want to see what happens to Jesus. And perhaps he didn't think of himself as following at a distance as much as he thought of himself as following the Lord. Thirdly, why did he do that? He had ignored the warnings. what warnings had been given. Well, let's go to Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 31. Peter said, or the Lord had said to Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And then he said, but when you return, strengthen your brethren. You know what that said? That said, I've prayed that your faith wouldn't fail, but your faith's going to fail. So he had been told that his faith would fail. That should have set off alarms in his mind. Peter, your faith is going to fail on you. The bottom is going to fall out of your faith. Secondly, may I suggest that he was warned that he would deny the Lord. We saw that in Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 31. That all of you are going to be made to stumble. Oh, no, I won't be made to stumble. Oh, no, not only will you be made to stumble, you'll deny me three times this very night. So he'd been told your faith's going to fail, number one. Secondly, he was warned that he would deny the Lord. May I suggest to you that in look in Mark chapter 14 with me, if you will turn there, if you haven't already got that passage, Mark. Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 68. When the cock sounded the first time, that should have shook him to his core. You say, why was that? The Lord had said, before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times. That's what the Lord had said. And the night's not even over, and he's denied the Lord, and he hears the rooster crow. Look at that at verse 68. And he denied him, saying, I never knew nor understood what you're saying. And he went out on the porch, and the rooster crowed. And when he heard the sound of that rooster, that should have sent an alarm off in his mind. That should have been a warning in his mind. But rather, he bowed his neck and he denied him again. And even a third time, he denied the Lord after hearing the rooster. The rooster was a warning to him. Now notice at verse 17, the second time the rooster crowed, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows three times, you'll deny me three times. And he thought about it and he wept. The King James says he went out and he wept bitterly. It finally hit him on the second crow, but now it's too late. So Peter, why are you following at a distance? I think at this point he has to say, because I ignored all the warnings. And it may be that you're following the Lord, but you're following at a distance. And why are you at a distance? Because you've ignored the warnings of this text. You've ignored the warnings of brethren who've encouraged you to draw closer to the Lord. There have been those who've warned you saying, you know, if you draw away from the Lord, you're going to get further from the Lord. You draw away from the Lord, and here's what's going to take place in your life. And finally, one day you wake up, when the rooster crows the second time you wake up, but then it's too late. Why do people follow the Lord at a distance? Because they ignore the warnings. Number four. Why did Peter do this? Because he had forgotten the commitment he had made. He forgot all about that. Prior to the text that we're talking about, let's back up to Matthew, the 16th chapter. The Lord had discussed with all of the disciples the commitment that would be demanded of all of them, including Peter. Verse 21. Matthew 16 and in verse 24. That Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What he's saying, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my follower, this demands some commitment on your part. You've got to learn to say no to your own self and your own desires, and you've got to take a burden up and you've got to follow me, you've got to come. He told all the disciples that very thing. Peter thought he understood that, because I'll go back to Matthew chapter 26, now beginning at verse 32. He had boldly proclaimed that kind of commitment to Jesus. When Jesus said, you'll stumble, I will not stumble. I'm going to follow you. You'll deny me. I never will deny you. I'll even die for you, but I'll never deny you. He's boldly proclaiming that commitment. And for the moment, when they arrested Jesus and carried him off to Caiaphas, for the moment, he's forgotten all about that commitment. He's forgotten what the Lord had said about denying yourself. He's forgotten the commitment he had just said. I will never deny you. I'll die for you if I have to. And here's the man who's cowardly standing back and watching, but he don't want to get any closer. He's forgot about the commitment that he made. I want to suggest to you that we make a commitment when we obey the gospel. And if you're following the Lord at a distance, And you say, I'm following the Lord, but you want to keep your distance from the Lord and His people? Maybe you've forgotten the commitment that you made. Consider with me in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, when you obeyed the gospel and you were put down in the waters of baptism, the text says at verse 17, but God be thanked that you were the slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and being made free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. If that suggests you made a commitment, I am a servant of God. I'm going to serve Him. And after all, why do you call me Lord, Jesus said, and do not the things which I say? You're saying He's my Lord, He's my ruler. You made a commitment to follow the Lord. Peter had made a commitment. He'd forgotten all about that at this juncture. And we forget about the commitment we made when we're following. Why do we follow the Lord at a distance? Because we have a fear of a close association, a close connection. Because we deceive ourselves into thinking we're still following. We ignore the warnings and we forget about the commitment that has been made. Secondly, let's talk about the dangers. I know why Peter followed at a distance. Was there a problem with that? Maybe Peter's better off than the other disciples, perhaps. Could that be? At least he's following the Lord. He's just at a distance, though. Maybe this is going to enhance his faith a little bit. Maybe he's far better off than everybody else. Or was there a danger involved? Well, let's see. I want to suggest to you, first of all, that when you follow the Lord at a distance, that leads to other sins. It puts one in a position where they easily commit other sins. How so? Well, let's look at the case of Peter. Look at Matthew chapter 26, since that's our major text we're following. Let's look at the Matthew account of that. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 58, he followed at a distance. But I notice in verse 70, he lies. It led to lying. What do you mean lying? Well, the text says, but he denied it. He said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. That was the charge. This man right here, this man Peter, he was with this Jesus. And he said, absolutely not. I have nothing to do with him. He's lying. I want to tell you, lying is a whole lot easier when you follow the Lord at a distance than if he were sitting right beside Jesus on the trial before Caiaphas. I'll tell you something else it led to. Three times he denied the Lord. Look at verse 70. Verse 70 said he denied the Lord. And then a second time he denied with an oath saying, I do not know the man. And thirdly at verse 74 he said, I do not know the man. I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm not with the Lord. I have no identification with him at all. No, I'm not with the Lord. I have nothing to do. No, I'm not with that Jesus. I have nothing to do with him. How'd that all happen? I can tell you, that happened because he'd been following the Lord at a distance. That's a whole lot easier when you're following at a distance. Luke 22. It led to a failure of his faith. As we said a moment ago, the bottom fell out of his faith. He came all to pieces. How'd that happen? That's a whole lot easier to do when you're following the Lord at a distance. And what I'm suggesting to you is it's not surprising when one follows at a distance that they become involved in worldliness. You see, one who's following real close to the Lord and they're sticking beside the Lord and they're constantly connected with the Lord and with His people, we're surprised when they get involved in worldliness. Those who follow at a distance and they're out on the peripherals and they're not following too close to the Lord, they're not closely connected with the people of God, but they're following the Lord, they're just at a distance. We're not surprised at all when they get involved in worldliness. And when somebody then reports, you know what, I've seen them out drinking. I've seen them dancing. I've seen how they dressed. Nobody's shocked because they follow the Lord at a distance. And when once someone is following the Lord at a distance, they'll start doing things that they know to be wrong. You say, well, they know better than that. Well, sure they do. Peter knew better than say no. He knew better than that. But you see, when you're following the Lord at a distance, it becomes easier to do things you know to be wrong. And when you follow the Lord at a distance, your language may not be becoming. I'm not surprised at all. Someone who follows the Lord at a distance, you hear a few words come out of their mouth that is not becoming of a child of God. That's what happens when you follow the Lord at a distance. And it's not surprising when their attitude turns sour. And their attitude's not what it should be. And likewise, it's not surprising that they don't know much about what is wrong. That sometimes they may get involved in some sin that they don't even understand there's anything wrong with that because they follow the Lord at a distance. They haven't been there to listen to the Lord. They don't know what the Lord said on certain questions. They don't know what the Lord has instructed on certain issues because they've been following, remember, at a distance. But here's another thing. I want to suggest to you that it makes you even go even further. What's the danger of following at a distance? Maybe I'm better off following at a distance than not following at all. And one of the dangers is it's easy for you to go even further. Let's notice the example of this in Matthew chapter 26, then we'll go to Mark's account. Turn with me to Matthew 26, if you will. And let's look at Matthew 26 and verse 71. What I want you to notice is that Peter was already at a distance from the Lord, but he moved even further away. Look at verse 71. And when he had gone out to the gateway, there's already a distance between him and the Lord, but he goes further. Look at Mark's account, Mark 14, 68. The text says, when he denied it, he said, I know neither what nor understand what you're saying, but he went out on the porch. He went out further. And what I'm suggesting is that Peter moved even further away. And the point is that at a distance, it makes it easier to put even a wider gap between you and the Lord. When you're sitting right beside the Lord and you're with the Lord and you're in a relationship with the Lord and someone starts to put a gap between you, you see the gap coming very real quickly. But when there's already a distance, you wonder, why not just a little more distance anyway? That's what Peter did. And what I'm suggesting to you is if you're following the Lord at a distance, it's easy to lose your faith altogether. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews and notice two or three texts there that warn the danger of completely losing our faith. Let's talk about the context of the book and then we'll come back to these texts as you turn to Hebrews 3. This is in a context of brethren who are discouraged. Persecution is severe. There is a temptation to kind of push away and back away lest they face the same kind of persecution that others are. In other words, there is a temptation to push back and follow at a distance. Oh, I want to follow the Lord, but maybe I want to push back and follow at a distance, you see. And here's the warning of chapter 3 and in verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. What's his warning? You could lose your faith altogether. There is a gap between you and the Lord. You put a bigger gap. And then you put a bigger gap, and then you put a bigger gap, and you may lose your faith altogether. Turn to chapter 6, that interlude in Hebrews 6. In Hebrews 6, beginning at verse 4, the warning is, if you depart from the Lord, here is a danger. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers to come. Now notice verse 6, if they fall away to renew them again unto repentance. What's his point? You could reach the point of no return. Your faith could fail. The bottom falls out of your faith. And it doesn't hold up anymore. The same warning was given in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 26. If we sin willfully after we received a knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. The warning is you could lose your faith altogether. You reach the point of no return. You get further and further away from the Lord. There is no coming back to the Lord at all. Well, there's danger in following the Lord at a distance. Let's talk thirdly about the signs. I know the reason. And I know the danger. What are some signs that someone may be following the Lord, but following him at a distance, though? What are the signs in the case of Peter? Let's see. Well, first of all, when we start warming ourselves by the devil's fire, let's turn to Mark's account of this, and then we'll turn to Luke. Go back to Mark 14. As I said, we'll look at Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and John 18. Those are the parallel accounts. Let's go to Mark this time, Mark 14. And in verse 54... And if you've already got that, be turning over to Luke chapter 22. We'll look at the parallel account in Luke 22, in verse 55. What I want you to see in these two accounts is that Peter was warming himself by the fire. Look at Luke 14 and in verse 54. That Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest and sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Whose fire was that? Wasn't the disciples' fire. That was the enemy's fire. That was the servants of the high priest. That was their fire. Look at Luke 22. In verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. He's warming himself by the devil's fire. I want to suggest to you that was a continued association. Look at verse 59. You're still in Luke 22. Look at verse 59. That after about an hour had passed, this was no brief association. It wasn't that Peter sat down here to gather some information. I want to know what they're planning to do with Jesus. And I want to know what the plans are. And I'm going to see if I can feel them out. So I sat down here quickly and asked some questions. That wasn't a brief association. He sat for an hour, warming himself by the devil's fire. He's not bothered to be among the enemies. If he was, why'd he sit there for an hour? For an hour he sat there, warming himself by the devil's fire. He reminds me of Lot, who pitched his tent towards Sodom, Genesis 13, 12. And as he did that, there were consequences to that. Now, what I want to suggest to you is that when you're among and around the people in the world, and you spend your time among and around the world of sin, you're following the Lord at a distance. And when you're comfortable being around the people of the world and the sins of the world, and you're warming yourself by the devil's fire, that's an evidence and some signs that you're already, if not beginning to, you may already be following the Lord, but at a distance. Are you warming yourself by the devil's fire? Are you sitting among the enemies of God's people? Are you sitting among the enemies of God and you're warming yourself by the fire? The enemies of God have fired up, and you're sitting there among them. Secondly, when you recognize that you'd rather be comfortable with the world than uncomfortable with the Lord, you're following the Lord at a distance. Let's go to John's account. Now, this is interesting to me. John's account carries it just a step further. Verse 18 said, the servants who made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold. This was a cold night. And they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. You see, to identify himself with the Lord would have been very uncomfortable for Peter. Don't forget where we were a moment ago. If he'd have said, I'm with him. Yes, I am. I am with Jesus, the one you arrested and carried in there before Caiaphas. I'm one of his disciples. And whatever you do to him, you do to me too. That'd have been very uncomfortable. They put him on trial. They may be out to kill him. But it was cold. And Peter sought to be comfortable with the enemies of God than to be uncomfortable with his Lord. Listen to me carefully when I suggest to you that when we are just as close or closer to people of the world than we are with our brethren, we are following the Lord at a distance. There's a good place for that, whoever said that. We're following the Lord at a distance when we're more comfortable being among the people of the world. And we choose to be there more so than among the people of God. And when our attitude toward the brethren is not that we love them dearly, but we could take them or leave them, but we enjoy our association with the world. We're following the Lord, all right, but it indeed is at a distance. Thirdly, what's a sign you're following the Lord at a distance? And it's a careless attitude that Peter had. What I want to suggest to you is he sat with the enemies. We've already described that, John 18 in verse 18. Luke 22, Mark 14. And he wasn't bothered. Luke 22, 59 said he sat there for an hour. Can you picture sitting right there with those who have their mindset on killing Jesus? And he's not bothered by that. Not for the moment, anyway. There was the denial once, that is, he said, I don't know the Lord, then twice, and he still sits among the enemies and he's not bothered. And it's as if he were saying, if you were to ask Peter, what are you doing, Peter? What are you thinking, Peter? What's going on with you? What are you thinking, sitting right here amongst them? It's as if Peter is saying, I'm okay, I'm not affected, I can handle this, this is not a big deal. And I want to suggest to you, there are people of God who are following the Lord at a distance, and when you challenge them about their sin, I'm okay, this is not a big deal. I'm all right, I can handle this. Just don't get upset about what I'm doing, I can handle this, everything's all right, just leave me alone. That careless attitude of Peter indicated he's following the Lord at a distance. Are you following the Lord at a distance? You say, well, I think I'm following the Lord. But are you at a distance? What signs could we see that might indicate you're, well, when you're warming yourself by the devil's fire, and when you'd rather be comfortable that with the world than uncomfortable with the Lord, and this careless attitude about what's going on in your life, yeah, you're following the Lord then at a distance, just like Peter. But finally, could there be any justification for this? Peter, if we were to ask him, why on earth are you following at a distance? I don't buy the conclusion that somehow, we're being others, Hendrickson, that the problem wasn't that he followed at a distance, but that he was following at all. I don't buy that. But he was following at a distance. And if you were to ask Peter, why are you doing this? I think he would tell us why. Look at verse 58 of chapter 26. Go back to our major text that we're following. The reason Peter seems to give is to see the end, the text says. This is the only version that tells us. I mean the account. Matthew's account tells it, but Mark and Luke and John does not indicate this. Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. In other words, to see the outcome. New American, New International. They've arrested Jesus. Don't forget that. He's been carried away to trial. They carried him before Caiaphas, the high priest. I want to see what's going on. Let me see. Why are you going, Peter? I want to go see the outcome of this. I want to see the outcome. He should have known. He should have known because Jesus had told him the outcome. Go back to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. Same book, same book. Look at the 16th chapter, verse 21. Matthew 16 and verse 21. Here is what the Lord had said to him. He said, the time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. If he'd been listening, he'd have known he's about to be killed. That's the outcome. Jesus had already told him. Linsky observes this. He said, we always invent good reasons for doing what we ought not do. Don't we? Peter, why don't you go in and tell him you're with the Lord? And why are you following but at a distance? Why are you doing that? I want to see the outcome. We'll see how things are going to turn out. And he invented a good reason for doing what he was doing. He wanted to know without being a part. He wanted to know what's going on with Jesus, but he doesn't want to be a part of what Jesus is doing. And I want to suggest to you that often we're more spectators than disciples. Could that be? His justification for following at a distance was that I want to know what's going on, but I don't want to be involved. And maybe our justification for following at a distance, you say, if somebody asks you, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of the Lord. Yes, I serve the Lord. Or are you really involved in the local? No, I'm not really involved. Do you go all the time? No, I don't go all the time. Are you real dedicated? No, I don't get this carried away about my religion, but I follow the Lord all right, though. Well, why are you following at a distance? Because I want to know a little bit without being involved. I want to know a little about what's going on in religion and with the Lord, but I don't want to get real involved in that. That's what Peter was saying at verse 58. Sometimes we're following more out of curiosity than our conscience. He closed with a quotation from Matthew Henry. Listen to this carefully. Speaking of Peter, Henry said, he followed him, that is Christ, but it was only to see the end, led more by his curiosity than his conscience. He attended as an idle spectator rather than a disciple, a person concerned. Note, it is more our concern to prepare for the end, whatever it may be, than curiously to inquire what the end will be. The event is God's, but the duty is ours. I say amen. Do you follow the Lord more out of curiosity than you do conscience? That is, I'm not conscience bound to serve the Lord. I'm not conscience bound to do anything or to be involved. But I'm kind of curious, and I just want to kind of see what's going on. Are you more of a spectator than you are a disciple? Peter was a disciple of the Lord, but at this point he's just a spectator because he's following at a distance, just observing. And when he had an opportunity, he distanced himself even further from the Lord. Peter was guilty of following the Lord at a distance. Indeed, we could too. We see the reasons. We see the dangers. We see the signs. And we see the justification that at least Peter gave for doing what he did. There may be one or more present who's not a Christian, who's not a child of God. Would you come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Would you repent of your sins, acknowledge your faith, and be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins? If you're subject in any way, would you come all together?